This episode is brought to you by Fetch. Fetch is a kennel alternative right here in Denver, not a traditional doggy daycare or boarding school. They offer one-on-one private pet care for all kinds of pets, both furry and non-furry. And their employees are experienced, insured, bonded, and background checked, so you can rest easy knowing your pet is in good hands. Basically, they know pets. I used to watch a Burmese mountain dog named Sven, who was just like walking a polar bear. It was insane. Fetch offers pet sitting, dog walking, pet taxi, medication administration, and more. And he hated going on walks. I could like walk him around the block and then he was like, he just liked to lay in the bathtub. So if you're looking for high quality pet care you can trust, check out Fetch at northdenver.fetchpetcare.com. That's northdenver.fetchpetcare.com. Today on CityCast Denver. The Mile High City is known for craft beer, but now breweries are closing left and right. So I invited my stand-up comic friend who works in breweries to join us this week to give us the inside scoop. Plus, wage theft. The city is cracking down, and even lawmakers working on the problem are in the crossfire. Oh, and just a warning, this episode contains some explicit language. Today is Friday, April 5th. I'm Bree Davies, and here's what Denver's talking about. Welcome back to CityCast Denver, the show about the city celebrating its favorite baseball-themed holiday, opening day, but you'll probably still find a guy celebrating who's also wearing a Sell the Team shirt. That's what I think is the nice juxtaposition with our Rockies fans. I don't know. Are you guys Rockies fans?
As much as you can be. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Get up on it. As much as you can be.
Yeah. Cheap beer, you know, it's a nice day out downtown. I like hot dogs. Yeah.
This is the thing I hear from everyone is like, do you like the Rockies? The stadium is amazing.
I like the rock pile.
Are they still a dollar? I doubt they're still a dollar.
No, the tickets?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're probably up in the teens to 20s, right?
Okay. But still.
It's 2024 now.
That's true.
It's a deal. It's a deal. Well, it's opening day. It's also Friday. We're here at the 5280 Magazine Studios. Before we get started, I have a little bit of business to take care of. We have Mayor Mike Johnston coming on the show later this month again, and we need your help.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I mean, if you guys have questions for him, let me know. But we want to hear from our listeners. What do you want to ask him about? Do you have a question about his work on homelessness or the budget cuts conversation or maybe his favorite patio for margaritas? I mean, we've already asked him about his jacket, so there's many things we could ask him about. But we want to hear from you. The Mayoral Hot Seat Hotline is back open. Give us a call, leave us a voicemail, or send us a text to 720-500-5418. And I have a minor correction from last week. We were talking about the lawsuit between Alma Fondafina and My Neighbor Felix. And I said that My Neighbor Felix was in the old Trail Dust building, which I don't think would mean anything to either of you. It's an old restaurant that was on I-25. And listener Lynn S. wrote in to correct me. That's actually one of Francois's other spots. The View House is currently in that space. I think My Neighbor Felix was in Landry's Seafood House. So thank you. We always love to hear from our listeners. We've got two great guests today. As always, we have one of our favorites, stand-up comic, our man that is on the inside of Casa Bonita, Joshua Emerson. Hello.
Hi, good morning, Bree. How you doing today?
Good morning. So good to see you. It's been a while.
Absolutely. Yeah, I woke up in a good mood. I had a yellow Red Bull. I walked my dog, even though she was being very sassy, and I'm happy to be here.
And a mutual friend of ours here, he's a bartender, stand-up comic who hosts a regular weekly Wednesday show at Ratio Beer Works. Corey Healy, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me, guys. I'm excited to be here. I love this.
Two comedians. I'm a little nervous.
I'll be here as a bartender. I will not be funny.
Please represent
the bartending
community.
I will not be humorous.
Excellent.
This whole time I'm here.
What a fan.
Well, let's get to our top story. It's all about wage theft. There were actually multiple stories about wage theft this week. This story starts at the State House, where Longmont Democrat Sonia Jaquez Lewis was booted from a powerful committee chair and bumped off a wage theft bill because, no joke, she allegedly committed wage theft.
No.
It sounds like she's an expert. I don't understand why they kicked her off.
That's lived experience. That's Does that count right. as lived experience?
This makes sense.
Who watches the watchers? You know what I mean?
Well, and she's not alone. The Denver auditor reported this week that his staff collected more than $2 million on behalf of workers in wage theft disputes just this year, which is a huge jump, nearly double from the previous year. Joshua, have you ever had your way? Have you ever dealt with this issue?
Yeah, just with myself, you know what I mean? And not following up on invoices for like independent work.
Yeah, that adds up.
I've stolen from myself all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In terms of, I've never had an employer, thankfully, knock on wood, somewhere not like withhold wages from me. And yeah. I would be incredibly angry just because it's emotional. Like the people that this affects the most are like, because your rent is still due, your groceries
are
still need to be paid, and so you need the money. And it's in economics, you need the money now, not later. You know what I mean? That time value.
Corey, we're going to talk more about your experience in the service industry in a few minutes, but have you ever had this happen to you?
Not exactly that I remember. If it did, it probably slipped right past me. I've been overpaid a couple of times. You know, that's where you're like questioning. It's like, is this a trick? Did they mean to slip 40 in tips on me? Which happened like 2 weeks ago. I was like, the owners are testing me. I'm the manager of this bar. They're seeing if I'm on their team or on my team.
And how'd you do?
I put it back. I gave it back to him. I asked him.
Because you're a good person.
I'm also totally paranoid and thought they were coming for me. I was terrified.
I know. I was like, I have that Catholic guilt thing, so I feel you.
Catholic guilt for sure. It's, like that's the truth behind it all. Catholic guilt.
It never leaves you. Joshua, I think your point is really well made, though, that we know who this affects the most. It's not salaried employees. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, who I'm one of those people now, but I have been in this position of being an hourly wage worker, and it's like a domino effect.
Right.
It, you know, you don't get paid, and then you, like you said, you can't pay your rent, you can't buy groceries, maybe you have bills that are due at very specific times, and then that triggers late fees, and it just feels like a very stressful experience. And I don't, also to find a legislator in this position,
oh, the hypocrisy is crazy, right?
That felt like you were chosen to lead by your community, uh-huh. and then this kind of, it just rubbed me the wrong way. And
that was horrifying, just reading the story. And multiple people have left her office, and that
maybe
sucks.
We know a little bit more into why.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The woman or the individual, I don't think they named who it was, but the staffer that they stiffed that pay period left that pay period too, mm-hmm. right? So it was just like a. There must have been some more.
It felt like she was kind of like, they already quit, so I don't care.
What's this $88 matter to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the senator that ended up signing off on the pay card was like, he did it because the other senator refused to pay. And he used that word, you know.
I think it was in an email or something. It was just very specific. And he was like,
intentional word, right?
Yeah, he was like, I was mm-hmm. literally just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
What was interesting was this legislator from Longmont won with 68% of the votes last election. So I wonder, do you guys think would that impact you as a voter? Would this be an issue that you would make you think twice about that person?
Absolutely. It's not great to be put into a position where you can positively affect, especially on the committee and being a signer for this bill, and then to be taken out of that role, you know? And so I guess it really matters what Senator Lewis is going to do going forward through the next election cycle. Can't she get any good work done after this happening?
Yeah, because you can't really fix that thing. That
dug a
done.
Hole.
Yeah.
Yeah, she has dug a hole, though.
I don't think I would want to vote. I wouldn't want to vote for someone I think is dishonest, but like it's kind of tough weeding through who's dishonest in these instances. But man, I do know how I would campaign against her if I was like her opponent. Like blue collar people like stand up, and people who no collar people like stand up, because this is another person that's, you know, showing their disloyalty to their people.
And the true colors, kind of. And I think that what you just said about like sort of blue collar workers really taps back into this this thing with the auditor here in Denver. Tim O'Brien said his office has investigated thousands of cases, and they were successful because they proactively dug into the problem in specific industries like nail salons, construction, home health care services. What does that say to you guys about this issue? I thought it was interesting to think about those specific industries.
People who are minorities do those jobs, yeah. I think, more than folks who are white.
Yeah, and people that may have precarious legal status.
Yep, yep.
Also, how large the problem was really surprised me. So 3,570 cases this past year. That's up from 2,061 the previous year. $2.4 million given back to people from stolen wages. And granted, part of that is from the they're allowed to charge interest on unpaid wages now. And so—
Oh, that's neat too, yeah.
Yeah, so, but more money's going back to the people because of that. But still, $2 million, that's crazy.
That is crazy, but I bet in the world, if we look at like just how many checks have gone through this year in all these kinds of industries, it's gotta be in the billions of dollars.
Right.
It felt a little small to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it did feel a little bit small.
It just felt like a couple of bucks we all get.
Yeah.
Now we're all just going to get a check for like $3. And obviously, that's not the truth. But like, yeah, it's just such a small amount for how many people live here.
Yeah, and thousands of people were in this process that they were helping. And I think the other thing interesting too here is like this auditor has sort of stood out. He's really been vocal. There's been an increase in legislation around the powers that the auditor can have, but this auditor in particular has been very, I don't want to just say like in the press, but trying to do or doing things that are getting more attention. And I think this is something that's, I don't know, valuable. How many hourly wage workers are there out there in Denver and across Colorado? Hundreds of thousands.
Right. And they've earned this. You know, like these are wages that they've done the work for, contributed to our economy, provided a service. And they deserve those wages. He's looking to get subpoena power, I think. He's one of the only elected officials without subpoena power. And they're being very careful, it seems like, with what subpoena power. I was trying to read a little bit. I was getting a little bit confused in the weeds about it, but I'm definitely going to be watching to see how the legislation goes over this next year with that.
Yeah, I would wonder why city council, I think, would have to approve that. Why would they maybe not want to? I was trying to think about that too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Transparency is important in government, and that's kind of what his job is. And as a constituent, I like that idea, but I don't know what that means on the power, more powerful side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Should be interesting. Well, if you're a listener and you've had this experience, if you've had to deal with wage theft, we want to hear from you. You can give us a call on the wage theft hotline, 720-500-5418. Again, call or text. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more news.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Okay, and we're back. The question of Denverites and their love affair with beer, is it over? Because at least 31 breweries across Colorado have closed in the last year, according to 9 News. And in the last 2 weeks, two more breweries in Denver closed, Alpine Dog on 17th Avenue in the old Denver Bicycle Cafe and Grandma's House on South Broadway. Corey, this is your industry. What are you hearing?
Just basically, maybe some people aren't drinking as much beer, and some people have maybe property issues where rent is kind of what's struggling, and it's hard to pay those bills when you have tough landlords. Might be the case for Grandma's House, but I do think there might be like, you know, a shift in the way people are drinking alcohol a little bit. So as much beer as, you know, we all might want to consume, the people that we like spend time with maybe don't want to drink a lot of beer, and there's room for other ways to do it, you know, seltzers or...
Seltzers, yeah, have had a huge rise in popularity.
Huge.
I'm sure that's had an impact on beer.
Yep, and craft beer is making seltzer. So they're trying to pivot along with it, which is, it's easy to make seltzer. We could do it now.
Yeah, and I have to say, as a person that doesn't drink and quit drinking even before sort of this latest brewery boom, early on, I remember going to a couple of breweries and they had no options. I would say Ratio has a ton. It's one of the reasons I love it. But there were just limited options. So even trying to meet those friends when you want to have a beer and they don't might be deterring people from going. Paul wants to know if you sell hop water Ratio. What is hop water?
Hop water.
So hop water. So I don't work at Ratio. I do host the comedy show there. I have worked at Ratio. They do sell a hop water. It's I think the one they have right now has a peach flavor to it. It's great. It's really good.
Is it like a seltzer?
What is it, I guess?
So it's kind of like if there was a hop LaCroix or a Waterloo. So soda water that's flavored with hops. I work at Landlockdale's on South Wadsworth, a tiny little Lakewood brewery. We make hop water with terpenes instead of hops. So we're like lying to the people, which I don't think we're going to get in trouble for. But we don't use hops because hops are expensive. So we use terpenes, which is the non-psychoactive ingredients from weed, from marijuana.
That's what I thought.
Some guy sells us that. We pour it into soda water and it just kind of tastes like hops. I meant to bring some today, but it was just short enough notice. I didn't.
Is it non-alcoholic?
Non-alcoholic.
It is. Mm-hmm. So it's like sort of a beer alternative for someone who maybe wants something with a little bit of that
hop flavor.
So is it all flavor? Do you get any buzz at all?
No. Nothing psychoactive. Like just kind of tastes like. Just kind of tastes like gym socks. I don't know. Everyone I've had is good. And I once, you know, before COVID, I was working in Nebraska at a brewery, and some dork brought like a vial of hop juice and squirted it into carbonated water that we happened to have at the brewery. And as a bartender, I was a little torqued. I was like,
what are you doing here?
Like, why are you even in my...
It's weirdly offensive. You know what I mean?
Are you going to tip for my carbonated water?
Are you going to roofie someone? What's in there? He's
himself.
Just making a potion.
That's interesting. I mean, I think this is also tapping into, though, and I wonder if maybe breweries haven't done as good of a job as they could, is there are still people that want to drink beer that's not alcoholic. I'm not one of those people, but my brother loves non-alcoholic beer. Is that a thing? I mean, how is that playing out in the brewery scene?
I stopped drinking for a while, no reason, just to see if a toe would stop hurting.
Yeah.
And we'll save that story for another, you know, we'll talk about my toe in the future.
Can't wait.
It stopped.
Thank God.
But non-alcoholic beer, yeah, it just didn't really like hit for me. It doesn't really taste the same, and it's you know, just not, it's not quite the same. But if you're not quitting, you know.
Depends on what your reasons, maybe.
I just was bored one day and, you know, a sales rep dropped a non-alcoholic beer hat off at my brewery and I started wearing it. And I was like, I'm going to just not drink for what turned into like 5 or 6 months. And it was just because a guy gave me a hat. But drinking that beer was terrible. We stopped selling it eventually. But it was a great hat and it inspired me not to drink. But then I was, you know, testing non-alcoholic beers where I would go, and I work in breweries. I call bingo at breweries also. Comedy's not paying. If you need bingo work, Josh.
Oh man, the bingo.
You wanna call bingo, I can get you some money. Bingo's... for calling bingo at a grocery stores where
it's
I'm
a vein.
It now.
I know it's a vein. You know what I mean?
You just haven't stepped into it yet.
It's there.
Spelling bees is where I wanna go. That's my next move.
That's a great idea. Okay. That's a great idea. But I was drinking non-alcoholic beers and it's just not the same. And it's not because I was trying to catch a buzz, because, like, you know, I'm probably smoking weed before I drink those beers. So I was feeling, you know, goofy, but it just doesn't exactly taste the same.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes it's like kind of repulsive. It's just not good at all.
Interesting. Yeah. Cause, part of brewery culture for me is the vibe, the sense of like comfort I feel in a brewery. Mm-hmm. It's like Colorado versions of a pub. You know what I mean?
Okay.
A little bit different. Because like
you just made it sound beautiful, kind of. Well, and historic.
I love breweries. One, I mean, I'm a comedian and breweries are so supportive of comedy. Mm-hmm. I would say in terms of industries that support comedy, I think breweries would probably be the biggest.
If you're a new comedian and you just want to run a show, just learn a brewery. No one's put a stake in yet and they'll let you do it.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Which is why I love Grandma's House. They had a weekly Saturday show that ran for years.
At first I was surprised because they do so many interesting events too. I mean, they literally do crafting nights and all these kinds of things. But it sounds like it was a pretty gnarly situation with their landlord.
Right.
Which was wild to me too, because there's plenty of vacant retail space across the city. I can't imagine they're dying to fill that space with someone else.
It was the best thing about that neighborhood. In my opinion,
It was a great.
It was the best reason to go down to South Broadway, and so And a lot of my friends had a lot of fun like doing those events, like playing board games. And it's so kitsch too. And so Grandma's House, I think, is a really interesting example
kind of vibe
of how you can make a brewery that isn't going to fail, because they knew how to make something special on top of being a brewery, and they had the landlord issue, which is sort of why they have to sort of go away. But I mean, that's what breweries I think are going to have to do going forward. It's now the market is, there's still a big demand for breweries, it seems like, but you have to find a way to make your brewery stand out, it seems like.
I agree. And they stood out well. I was there on their opening night and I was just like, this place is so cool. And like, just Nintendo, crocheted blankets, glasses that, you know, like 1980s Arby's glasses with Looney Tunes on them. Just
very
weird stuff like that.
Very nostalgia driven.
Very cool.
Feeling.
The owner, though, I think like this is probably the biggest problem is like the owner, though, like this is probably breaking news, isn't a grandma.
What?
Just a dude.
Are you serious?
Josh, you say you've been there every Saturday for years. You had no idea.
I had no idea.
No grandma in sight ever?
No, I'm not sure about that.
I am shocked.
They had that great grandma blow up yard, you know, like a Christmas tree from that would blow up in your yard. They had a grandma like forever on the roof. It was so funny. And it may have been a landlord issue, but the neighborhood issue, but they kept getting complaints to where they had to take the grandma floaty off of the roof on South Broadway. And
why?
I don't know. That I think it was a distraction, awesome. Or it looked like it was going to fly off or something. I have no idea, but I do like that neighbor. I like South Broadway and leading up to like that Inglewood like area, like is cool. And I feel like 10 years ago when they opened, it was almost predicted it could be walkable in 10 years. But yeah. In that 10 years, it has not become walkable.
And maybe that's part of this real estate issue, right? Is they were in there at the beginning when it was more affordable. Now this landlord is seeing opportunities that were created by places like Grandma's House being destinations. We see this all over. I mean, this is the story of an American city. But like now they can't afford the neighborhood that they helped to create that walkability, the draw, the comedy draw, the hangout draw, just the things that neighborhood was clearly wanting and asking for. I hope that they reappear somewhere else. It doesn't sound like that's the plan, but it seems like they had a devoted audience and following, as well as people in the performing world that liked to be there, which says a lot about your establishment. You can be a venue and people still don't want to hang out there or work for you. Yeah. So,
and they've kind of had a rough year because I think they were part of the
Trinidad,
that Trinidad exodus. Yeah. And they were like a joint place
That's
with like sexy
right.
pizza at the time. And then I think maybe it's just a sexy pizza. I don't know if they're still involved.
I can't remember. Are they still? Okay. Yeah, there's been, but I know that's been a conversation over the last like years. Like, did Trinidad quote work? You know, are we sticking it out or not? So, what a bummer. It's, I guess my last, well, one more thing I want to ask you guys is this is a trend and it's been going on for a long time. Are we just like seeing the tail end of an oversaturation or?
I was thinking about it in terms of like that seltzer talk, and like, I don't think seltzer's ruining craft beer or anything, because we're all making seltzers, and again, it's easy to make some extract, water, carbonation. You got a seltzer. It's nuts. But like hard seltzer. How old are you, Josh?
I'm 32.
83. If you know our generation and the one above it, you know, some of the 50-ish year old dudes I was hanging out with, you know, 12 years ago, getting me into craft beer. If our generations enjoyed craft beer together, you know, and that kind of built that scene up, and now yours and I's generation are agreeing with the one below us who enjoy seltzers, it's almost like just tastes are maybe shifting a little bit. So there's still maybe a place for craft beer that'll be there in the future. Maybe it'll be a lot less craft breweries, but I mean, maybe hopefully there's still
an evolution is in process, and sometimes that means losing a lot before we gain the next
and
round.
As a beer tender, I love pouring beer. I manage my brewery, but pouring beer is so easy. I've been a barista and a bartender for a couple of hours once or twice, and I hate mixing drinks and warming up milks and pouring stuff into things, but beer is one thing. I can pour two at a time.
You can pour, you can talk to people.
It's so easy. But if it changes to where I have to start making beer.
You have to start wearing suspenders.
Or shaving my beard and just having a cool mustache. I'm going to hate that. But I see that breweries are probably either, I think our relationship with food trucks is great. And if you don't have that, you're probably going to have to start a kitchen to get people to come to your place. And you're probably going to have to start maybe selling some mixed drinks
and permitting. Yeah,
things might just have to change a little bit and become more of a tavern or like a pub than just a tap house. There might have to be some food served or some whiskey and waters or whatever kids are drinking.
Yeah. Another example of that, Vine Street pub and brewery is reopening over there by City Park. And you
thank
know,
God,
that,
I love
that. Yeah. And people were very excited.
Some of the best wings
it,
in Denver.
You know?
I was telling Josh that Kevin O'Brien used to do our mutual friend, used to do that great show, Arguments and Grievances, there.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest comedy shows ever. It was great.
And it's such a cool room. Like you're hanging out. It's again, it has that living room vibe, mm-hmm. like grandma's house, that makes people want to hang out there. So I think that that is a good prospect, Josh, to think about is the positive side of it. But it's, you know, maybe it's just a recalibration of these things. Before we move on, I'd love to give you some space to shout out your favorite breweries.
The Gnome.
How long is this podcast, everybody?
The Gnome over there by the O. I keep
Grateful
going to
Gnome.
Say, the Grateful Gnome.
Delicious.
Yeah, so delicious. Yeah, and right in my neighborhood.
Good sandwiches.
Oh, great deli.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're really cool.
I've never been there. Yeah, usually when I'm at the Oriental Theater, it's closed because it's late.
Oh, that's funny.
That's funny.
So, what about you, Corey?
I have so many. My favorite brewery I've never worked for is Chain Reaction. They're really cool people. They have pinball machines, and they've been like part of this like cool movement in Denver, where they've made a controller for pinball machines that people with different disabilities can play with their hands.
My children
play pinball with this controller at my brewery that one of the owners of Chain like cooked up. So that's like, and their beers are very unique. They use like pink peppercorn, and it's like someone challenges them with an ingredient, and they're like, watch. And they come from food backgrounds, which I think makes sense to like take to beer. I also love Gold Spot Brewing.
I've never been
north of town. They do some comedy stuff there, but I think it's more like LGBTQ based comedy. Their beer is super great. They're under like new ownership as of like 2 or 3 years ago, but just great beer, good people. They once like when I worked for Ratio, like helped us out of a bind once, like just this huge bind we were in, and they helped us find a way to like just keep selling beer. So like they're like angels to me. I'll stop there with this.
Oh, we gotta also shout out Ratio. You know, some of the best beer I've ever had.
Yeah, Ratio has great beer. Yeah, and great music and.
Yeah, I was like the music component of it is the most appealing thing to me. Is like this is started by folks from the punk rock world, and it feels that way in a way that's like inviting, even if that's not necessarily your thing. Mm-hmm. So
like the month I started, I used to deliver beer at Ratio, and like the month I started, the bassist of my favorite band, Alkaline Trio, played like an acoustic set,
yeah.
Like they were like, you're hired. Come back
they
tonight
do some of the
and
coolest shows.
get like work here, you know, backstage stuff. And it was just like, oh my gosh, this is a special place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we know a lot of you out there are brewery fans, as well as probably folks that work in the industry. We'd love to hear your takes on this. Give us a call on the Colorado Breweries hotline 720-500-5418. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, our Rocky Mountain highs and lows. All right, and we're back. We've got our Rocky Mountain highs and lows of the week, our wins and fails, things that ruled, things that sucked. We're going to start with fails because we always love to end on a good note. Mm-hmm. Joshua, do you want to start us off?
Yeah, I'll start us off. This is Bell Cherry Hills, the Denver. I just posted an article talking about a lot of the residents having issues with wildly fluctuating utility bills and just like weird. And it really, I think, just adds to this whole, there's a lot of fake luxury apartment complexes mm-hmm. in Denver that suck, that you go there and the rent's too expensive. The neighborhood is great because they pick the best spots in Denver, but the actual bones of the building was built really quick, really cheap, and it sucks to be a resident there.
Yeah, so this is an apartment complex. It's just past Old Hampton on sort of the edge of like downtown Inglewood.
Right.
And it's brand new. It is brand new because I remember when they were building it a couple years ago. And something that struck me in that article was the tenant that was like, my rent just keeps going up and
right.
the place just keeps getting crappier. And it seemed we're just hearing so much of this lately. And I wonder if this is like the next era of Denver of like some of these buildings aren't going to last.
I hope so. What's happening is that the rent, they're reacting to the market of Denver as a whole, which Denver's getting a better place to live. Rent's going up. And so, but it is weird just like as an individual to have the product get worse, where you're living get worse and worse, and you're paying more and more. And it really just feels
unfair. And for a brand new building.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the part that like floors me.
Yeah,
but then I think like one of my first apartments in Capitol Hill was like a 40s building. Mm-hmm. It had like an industrial toilet in it.
Right.
It was
an elevator with a door that has like a chain link.
But it was like indestructible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? Like it was like built to last.
Yeah. It's the survive a nuclear bomb.
Like, yeah. Even if I was on the second floor. But Corey, what have you got?
Fails. The Nuggets suspending their season ticket holder, Vicky Ray.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
so annoyed about that.
What
I thought they would have made
story.
Things right. It's been like a week and a half. And I just figured a championship organization could just find solutions that don't end in a season ticket holder being booted out of the arena.
And a season ticket holder that like wrote Christmas cards for the staff and was like very seemed to have a genuine
well loved by the staff too.
Like
one of the season ticket holders that the staff all knew where they were at, and it stinks.
They said that she had like grabbed at someone or something. Is that what it was? Like where she's sitting, like they accused her of like touching somebody or something. But I feel like another piece of that story was like maybe that's a hot season ticket spot.
And that's what I caught with it. It was like, it seems like maybe they just want to make
get rid of this person
a lot of money off of someone else that can do this. But that's the charm of someone that's been there for so long.
Exactly.
That's like, it's like that, those twin women and the sisters in the CU Buffs fans that are like in their 80s or something.
Right.
Well, only one of them is alive now, but like they're beloved by everyone that goes to games.
And to be like, if they would have found a better solution, they could have had that like Deion Sanders, that lady moment where they met, and this woman could have been, hey, despite, you know, this trouble
perfect
we
PR
made a week and a half, they should hire me as PR. I do have a communications mass media degree. Denver Nuggets, please. The brewery industry is shutting down.
Crockett Sports and Entertainment.
Bring me in.
Give me a call.
I've never said anything bad about you. You don't own the Rockies. but yeah, I think they could have found a much classier, cooler way to maybe, if she's too close, maybe we can push her 15 feet away
something.
Or set some boundaries with her.
But not just boot her forever.
Have, you know, just maybe they're worried about the referees, and maybe we can just be like, if you want to touch the players, do that. But leave the referees alone so we don't get in trouble for you having a friendship with the referees. Like, if it's that they're worried about, maybe there's something to be said, but say it. Don't act harshly.
Very shady.
I guess if it's an NBA thing, like their hands are tied, but if it's not an NBA thing, like Kroenke, you got to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, my fail this week was brought to you by Denver Foos, one of my favorite Instagram accounts.
Oh, yeah.
They posted this picture of a building it's an apartment building on Federal and like Dartmouth-ish. It's right across from Loretto Heights. And it is known in the community for being a building that has a brick pattern in it. It was built in like probably the 70s or 80s. And it looks like random bricks of different colors. But there's clearly a man with a giant penis illustrated in the brick, and they had posted like anybody remember this, like where is this, and everybody's like, it's the Pee-Pee Man building, we love the Pee-Pee Man building. And I realized the new owners painted over the Pee-Pee Man.
What?
Oh, R.I.P.
R.I.P. Pee-Pee Man. He was an icon on that side of Denver. So
just gotta find a new place to put a mural of that, so it just needs to be
across the street,
or somebody could just paint it right because it's white now, so just paint the Pee-Pee Man back right on there.
All right, so arrange this.
That's right, I'm not doing anything tonight.
Deal.
Shout out to Denver Foos for bringing it up, but I am sad that Pee-Pee Man no longer exists. Okay, let's go to our wins. You know what? I'll just start. I've got one really quick. Chauncey Billups is being inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame.
Great news.
Great Park news.
Hill represent.
He and I went to the same high school. I went to high school. I think he was a senior when I was a freshman. But I mean, even at that point in time, it was a big deal. He was known. He was going to be huge. And this is, I don't know, this is just one of those moments for Denver where I feel very proud that we're a city. And also, especially in this moment now, the Nuggets are doing awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting a little bit more respect. It's only proper to see someone like Chauncey inducted into the
NBA Hall of Fame. He was a 5 points guy, right?
Yeah, it was Park Hill.
That's
and
neat.
Then he,
okay.
I mean, he was part of, we were during our school time, they were still busing.
Right.
So they were bringing kids in from different neighborhoods.
Uh-huh.
They stopped busing when I was a sophomore, I think. But I live right by George Washington and he lived in Park Hill. But that's how it worked. But just a big deal for us, I think. Congratulations, Chauncey. Yeah. That's huge.
NBA champion. Made sure that the Lakers didn't win in 04 and couldn't just buy. That's a big deal,
big.
I think. And Detroit basketball at that time was not, I wouldn't say it wasn't fun to watch. There's just no offense. It was more like pro wrestling than basketball.
A lot of heels.
Exactly.
A lot of tough guys.
Yeah.
Detroit basketball, early 2000s.
And he was a nugget for a moment as well.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
At least
that's
we have that as well. Corey, what's your win?
Now we talked breweries despite some closing. Sometimes there's like some rebirth in that.
Yeah.
Sunroom Brewing in Inglewood closed. I'm currently an Aurora boy. I live like Colfax and Airport. I almost live in Nebraska again. Everyone's
almost home.
I almost made it back. Sunroom closed, but one of Aurora's like coolest breweries, Lady Justice Brewing, has left Aurora, which makes me sad. Looking for a new home space. Any Aurora breweries listening? I'm looking for a place to bring me in. I'm a lost pet. Lady Justice took over Sunroom's brewing space, which is like bigger and wonderful. Lady Justice before, like their taproom space was like as big as like
this
the room
we're in
doubled. Like it was very small. And it was on East Colfax, like far East Colfax, which is maybe not like the ideal space for just that population, you
sure.
know, and the patio never seemed like super safe to sit at, especially like I'd take my kids there and have a drink, let them like pick a six pack and we'd leave. And it was like, well, we'll probably stay away from the patio. And now they're in just maybe a space that kind of suits them a little bit better. And sometimes when one brewery closes, another
Something
one can just pop in
cool
and that's nice. They can make more beer. They can
that's
right.
great.
It's
have
already
more
outfitted
customers.
For them.
It's
That's
awesome.
Perfect.
Oh, congratulations.
And they're opening, official like opening this weekend. So they've had like a soft week.
Cool.
And then Saturday, Sunday, like shenanigans.
Awesome. Fun. So go check out Lady Justice. I love it. Joshua, close this out.
All right. This is embarrassing. This is a vulnerable moment for me, guys. I love this show. Love is Blind. It's terrible. I understand.
It is horrible.
It's a terrible premise, but also the best premise in the world. If you don't know what it is, it's these really hot people from all over the country come and they have going these pods where they can't see each other and they try to develop a relationship over personality and just talking. And then they
it's
see
not
each
love
other.
On the spectrum, but for blind people.
Because
I don't know this show and I thought it was about seeing impaired people.
No.
No,
these people have total eyesight, but
they're
just
total eyesight.
They just they can't see because they're in different rooms.
Exactly.
I haven't watched this one because I can't understand how it's usually these shows are populated with Instagram people. They're
right.
hot and boring. So how do you have? Do they really have personalities enough that come
some
through?
Some of
here?
Them, yeah. Some of them are terrible people,
okay.
and some of them
I
are.
I do love watching
like,
terrible people.
Yeah, exactly. And some of them are great, and they've all sort of bought into like, well, I'm just going to see where this goes type thing. And
yeah.
So they see each other for
I've had
time
a couple of those relationships. Her dad's a judge.
We'll
I'm going to stick
goes.
This one out.
See how this goes.
But they're filming in Denver, and it came out a
That's
couple of the different
right.
places that they were filming, like Sloan's, Odell Brewing. And this made me laugh. My neighbor, Felix. Because, of course, they would choose that. They might as well go to Happy Camper. Like, it's
yeah. It's perfect for that.
That type of, yeah.
Shows like this need you folks as location scouts so you can point them in the right direction of places.
You're like,
know?
That place
yeah.
sucks. Nobody really goes there.
Head
Nobody
to the Squire Lounge.
Oh, my God. I would love to see a reality show of this ilk trying
yeah.
to exist in
Welcome
Squire.
To Love on Colfax. Take them to Squire, then to Frontier Club where
yeah.
I live.
This is a pitch.
I
like
love it.
This.
Yeah.
I like this. Well,
I get to writing, everybody.
I, that was for me, though. I
so the win
like,
is that they're filming here in Denver.
Yeah,
that's exciting to
you.
I love it. Well, I guess maybe I'll tune in. Probably. We'll see. Well, Joshua, Corey, this has been so lovely. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me, gang.
Absolutely. Yeah. Corey, you're great. Bree, you're great. Me, I was great. Have a great night, guys.
That's all for today here on CityCast Denver. Our producers this week were Paul Caroli, Olivia Jewel Love, and Dylan Brogan. Peyton Garcia writes our morning newsletter, Hey Denver, and I'm Bree Davies, your host. Our music is by Los Mogotetes with additional mixing by Tyler Lindgren. If you haven't already, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, follow us on Instagram at CityCast Denver, and tell Senator Sonia Jaquez Lewis about us next time you see her. You can sign up for our daily newsletter and learn more about us at denver.citycast.fm. See you next week. Controller and I
it's love, real cool
like have it shows you that accessibility is for everyone when mm-hmm. like it's a kids can use it
yeah
like,
absolutely
it's amazing. Okay,
I've smoked weed and used it at the same time. Oh, like after hours, so you know, like just like use like one thumb to hit all the others while I do a
that's not a what joint. It was made for.
It's not, but if somebody had one arm though,
yeah,
they could still do it with one
that's
hand
great,
and
man.
I've learned that because I was abusing drugs at my empty brewery after hours.
Yeah, if a one-armed person came in, you'd give it up. You know, like, no.
Yeah, give it a try.